I was going to say good morning, but I'll say Merry Christmas. It's nice to have you here. Welcome as we celebrate the birth of the newborn child, Jesus. Lots of visitors. Glad you joined us tonight. Lots of families. Glad you came tonight. Hope you have a wonderful celebration. You know what? We're all in this together. For some reason, we come from the busyness of our lives and from all over tarnation, and we're gathered here in this little place called Malmo, Minnesota. That's kind of like Bethlehem, Israel. I mean, it was just a scattered dirt place town out in the middle of nowhere that the King of Creation comes. Anyway, we gather for to remember who Jesus is, to thank God for his blessings, to gather as fellow sojourners here on earth, to sing some of these wonderful songs, and who knows, well, to spend some time with family. And here we all end up at this little church, and it seems like we should all be of the same mind and spirit. So lots of you don't know each other. I mean, I don't know half of you or three quarters of you. So let's greet one another. At least let's see who's sitting around us. Let's say Merry Christmas. Let's greet one another, okay, and join this moment together. There, now we should be in a little bit better mood. Our minds are a little bit together. We're not thinking about... Oh, he's still thinking about Santa Claus. But that's part of the Christmas story too, is Saint Nicholas who gave to those who didn't have anything. So, on behalf of Bethesda Church, welcome. We'll gather, sing these wonderful hymns, hear the word. During the service, we'll put out the lights and sing Silent Night. Let me give you a hint. Hold your candles. If your candle is not lit, you can tip that one over, but if your candle is lit, don't tip it over, because I once poured wax on my wife's new pants. I still remember how I shouldn't do that. So hold your candle if it's lit straight and let the others take a light off of you. We'll ask the ushers to come and we will light each end of the pew and pass it down. That's the sign that the light of the world has come into our lives. We light the fifth candle on our Advent wreath. This is the Christ candle. The first week we lit the peace, hope, love, faith candle, and now the candle that is called the Christ candle that comes to light the way for us who live here on earth. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, as we gather fellow sojourners here on earth, traveling the journey that you set before us, we take time to remember you, the creator of the universe, who has become human in the form of a little baby and who taught us how we should live and how we should love and how we should dance. And so we pray your spirit might be amongst us as we sing these wonderful hymns again, and say our prayers and think of you. Send your spirit, Lord, to us this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise and let's open by singing the first two verses of O Come All Ye Faithful.
Oh, God.
Let's join together in the Christmas dialogue. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined.
We have seen Christ's glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Christ is born, salvation has appeared.
Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah.
And let's finish the song, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Sing choirs of angels.
Let us pray. O loving God, you once caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Turn our thoughts toward Bethlehem and the Christ child. May the words of Scripture remind us again that the old story is ever so new. May the carols reveal to us again the wonder and mystery of His birth. May the candles symbolize for us Your Son as the light of the world. Come, Lord Jesus, be born in us today. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
Our first lesson this evening is a prophecy from Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied about 650 years before Christ. It comes from the 9th chapter. He writes, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Here ends the first lesson. Our next song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." I'd love to sing another verse, but we don't have the words. And you're enjoying that so much. Another reading from the second chapter of Titus. "For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all people, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions, and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds." Here ends the lesson. Let's join now in "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." Three verses.
Thank you.
Please rise in honor of reading the Christmas story. The story is told this evening from the Gospel of St. Luke, the second chapter. Luke writes, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. You know what? There's a song we haven't sung tonight, and I haven't heard for a long time. I've got to catch your attention. Let's sing the first verse of Away in a Manger, okay?
What number?
I have no idea. You all know Away in the Manger, right? Let's sing one verse of Away in the Manger. Are you close? Closer? Okay, good. Let's try it. There you go. Let's sing together. Just one.
Away in a manger, no fear for a bed. A little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. A little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
That was pretty good. The church is my choir. You're the heavenly host. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Probably have heard this old story. A lady went into the post office to buy some Christmas stamps. And so she said, "I'd like to have a 50 Christmas stamps, please." The clerk said, "What denomination?" She says, "Oh, my goodness gracious. It's come to this already. I'll have 6 Baptists, 20 Lutheran, 10 Catholic." Haven't you heard that one before? Never ceases to amaze me. Around this world on Christmas night, people in every nation, every denomination, people of every age and race and language are bowing and giving thanks for the baby that was born so long ago in Bethlehem of Judea. Christmas Eve means different things depending upon your age. for our children, it's the most exciting evening of the year as they await the coming of Santa Claus. For parents, you know, it might mean something more. Yesterday, I had the privilege of going over to Duluth and bringing Christmas presents to my grandson. In this congregation, 90% are retired folks. They all have grandkids, at least most of them do. And every grandkid is the best grandkid there ever was ever born in the history of the world. And I used to say, sure, but now I know what they mean. We brought my grandson, Bodhi, a little shopping cart, you know, with the plastic thing. And he pushed that shopping cart and pushed that shopping cart hours, 2 hours, 3 hours. He loves shopping. And I thought, you know, what joy and what simplicity and what happiness. And I had the thought, I wish he could stay forever young. Just forever young and forever innocent, you know. That would be nice to keep our children forever young, forever joyfully anticipating the arrival of Santa and relatives and a wonderful family gathering, forever believing that the world is a place that's filled with beauty and love and joy and peace. But you know what? They're going to grow up and they're going to learn about life in the world, real world. The real world sees Christmas. Well, if you read the newspapers, it sees Christmas as a time to turn a profit on the year's commerce. So yes, in a sense, we would like to keep our kids and grandkids forever young. There's another temptation that occurred to me as I thought about this. That's to keep the baby that's born and placed in a manger forever the same. That's the temptation where we come to church on Christmas Eve and worship the baby and then return to our worldly lives and have our dinners and open our gifts. And that baby remains a baby in our minds forever. He never becomes a man. A man who ends up going into the temple and throwing over the tables of the money changers. A man who lived his life for others. A man who loved the unlovable, who cleansed the lepers, who washed the feet of his disciples, who gave his life for the ungodly, and on the third day he rose from the dead. We don't want to remember that Jesus. We like to keep him a simple baby in the mangers. It's a temptation to forget that Jesus calls us to follow him in his manhood all year long. He calls us to love our enemies, to do good to those who mistreat us. We forget to seek to live the kingdom life every day of our lives, to rise to something higher and something better as we walk this earth. It's all right if we sentimentally want to keep our children small so that they can forever be a delight to us. But it's not all right if we want to keep Jesus, the Christ child, forever young. Because we don't want to be inconvenienced, and we don't want to change from our stubborn old ways. And so we read in Luke's version of the Christmas story tonight that some shepherds were living out in the fields near Bethlehem, the place and near the place where the little barn housed the birth of the newborn child. And an angel of the Lord appears to these shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shones around them. And they're terrified. They're afraid. What is this? And the angel says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that'll be for all the people. For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. And you'll find him as a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And then suddenly when this angel tells them, the whole sky is filled with the heavenly host, with all of these angels. And they start singing, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth." And when the angels left and go to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has been foretold to us. Let's go find out if this is true." I mean, I can't hardly imagine, but that's the story that comes to us, huh? I sure would have loved to have been on that hillside that night to hear the angels sing. What an amazing sight that is. Almost everywhere you look these days, people have headphones on or music boxes or MP3s or telephones that sing. There's music on all the stations. There's music on all the TV stations. But you can have all the iPods in the world, but I don't think the music would have been nearly as good as it would have been to be one of those shepherds on that hill that night singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those upon whom his favor rests. I would have loved to have heard that. No wonder the shepherds decided to say, you know, one said, well, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see what's going on there. So they go where the angels told them to go. They see this Christ child for themselves. They spread the word concerning what had been told to them. And all who heard it were amazed at these shepherds, what these shepherds had said to them, huh? Probably their friends, these shepherds' friends, listened to them with skepticism. Have you ever thought about that? I know I would have. I mean, shepherds, really? Shepherds? Who could take their words seriously? And angels? I was going to ask who's ever seen an angel, but I got to say, I don't think I've ever seen an angel with the wings and the glory shown around them. And a baby in a trough where donkeys feed? This is a fantastic story. I mean, sounds like very third world story to me. Separate these events from the historical figure Jesus and... you know, probably wouldn't have made much sense to us. But because of who Jesus was and what he taught and how he lived and died and how he rose from the grave, this makes this story the most wonderful story that's ever been told because of who Jesus is. And Luke tells us that Mary, this young mother, treasures all these things in her heart and ponders them in her soul. And as for the shepherds, they return their fields, glorifying God, praising God for all that they had seen and heard. It just had been told, just as they had been told them. What a night that must have been. I wonder what happened to those shepherds. We never hear again what happened to the shepherds from this time forward. I was reading a book called The World of Serendipity. Marcus Box, the author, he tells the story of a young 16-year-old kid who built a telescope, but the telescope was only 7 inches long. It cost $7.50. As he was looking at the skies one night down in Texas, he spotted a comet. The next night he went out and the comet was there. Third night he saw the comet again and he called the Harvard Observatory. He says, I found a new comet. Smithsonian Observatory and the Lowell Observatory down in Flagstaff, Arizona, confirmed that he'd seen this comet. They named it the Whitaker-Thomas Comet, adding the name of the professional who verified what this 16-year-old kid had said. This author in this book, The World of Serendipity, says there's a law. It says that if you engage in a skywatch, you may see something. Does not say you will see something, but that you might. These shepherds weren't even stargazing, and they see angels, and they hear this message, and they hear this beautiful music. They did the sky watch, and the heavens opened up for them. The Magi, who were astrologers, who watched the sky, they saw something, and they followed the star to the Bethlehem scene. Sometimes, when we look for God, we find Him, or better yet, God finds us and leads us. Sometimes when we're not looking, God finds us and our eyes are opened. Maybe that's the package that we should be looking for tonight. God is going to come and meet us somehow, somewhere tonight. You don't have to be in Bethlehem. So some of you come tonight to worship, sincerely searching for God. Others of you come for the singing of the carols, to be with your family in a safe and loving place. Or maybe you come simply to enjoy the warm glow of Christmas again this year. And maybe to live in this Christmas spirit and to be reminded again that there is a God of the universe who loves us and became human for us. I pray that whatever your reason for being here this Christmas season, that something might happen this night that will cause you to hear the voice of an angel singing. And I hope those words will be, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy that 'll be for all the people. For unto you is born this day, in your lives, in your hearts, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly I hope you'll hear the quietness, in the quietness, a great company of the heavenly host singing. You'll hear that wonderful music of the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. There is a God. He does love me. He sent his son, and his favor rests on you." That's his promise. I hope you'll leave this place a changed person and enjoy this time together with family and friends. That's my prayer for you this night, that we can experience what the shepherds experienced. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. We're going to invite the ushers to receive our offering, and let's join in singing "Angels We Have Heard on High." Please turn to the prayers on page 5. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. For the increase of peace among the nations, let us pray to the Lord. For the spread of the joyful news that the Savior has come, let us pray to the Lord.
Praise the Lord,
Christ the Lord brings joy to the world.
For the poor and those who find no room, let us pray to the Lord.
Christ the Lord bring help to the poor.
For the renewal of the whole church in unity, let us pray to the Lord.
Christ the Lord bring renewal to the church.
For the light of Christmas to shine on us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Christ the Lord, bring us the light of your truth.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and for your Son who comes to us again. There are many people in this world who need your helping hand. Use us to bring your love and peace and joy and hand to bear. We pray this evening for Jan Phillips' son-in-law who lies in the hospital. Be with the Bistodo's granddaughter's husband who's got the flesh-eating disease. Be with those in our midst who have lost loved ones this past year. Comfort them in their mourning. Bring joy in their memories. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you might come to each one of us in a very real way, that we might know of your love for us and your forgiveness and your hope. Be with all who travel. Keep them in your safe and loving care. Rejoicing in your birth and trusting in your mercy, O Christ, light of the world, we commend all for whom we pray.
Amen.
Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to turn our lights off. We should probably sing the first verse of Away in the Manger again while we do this, okay?
Thank you.
The Word has become flesh and dwells among us. Let Christ's light shine in the darkest corner of your life. Let Christ's love shine in the darkest corners of our world. God is with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Our closing hymn is Joy to the World. There it is.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare His